We have a very intense percussion section over here. If your knees were drums, we would have been deafened. Okay, it's kids' night. Fortunately, we have a story because sitting in the front row would be impossible. So, kids, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You count. You're 12, 13, 14. Back? 15. Okay, I see you back there. I see you all back there. You are the soprano section during kirtan. Okay, so we're going to start with raise your hand. Not yet. We'll call on you guys first in the back there. Now, before you raise your hand, put your hands down. Question. Tell me one thing, something, about Draupadi. Who is Draupadi? What do you know about Draupadi? Well, I'm going to go call the soprano section in the back there first. Anyone back there? Draupadi. I see one hand back there. She just chickened out. Go ahead. One thing, loud enough that I can hear you. She's the wife of the Pandavas. Okay, fantastic. Draupadi.
She's a devotee of Krishna.
She's a devotee of Krishna. That's fantastic. She was a real devotee of Krishna. We're trying to be devotees of Krishna. She was a devotee of Krishna. She did what? By the Kauravas. The Kauravas grabbed Draupadi's hair, and you know who that was? Dushasana. Oh. Because they wanted to disgrace or embarrass her. They dragged her into the royal assembly. Draupadi. That was what you're going to say. Oh, she, okay. The queen of Arjuna. Well, was Arjuna one of the Pandavas? Okay. So Draupadi was the queen of the Pandavas, right? Okay, that one's covered. Draupadi. You forgot. Ashvatthama killed Draupadi's sons. That wasn't very nice. But you're right, that's what happened. Okay. Anyone else? Draupadi. Something about Draupadi, yes.
Draupadi told Arjuna, don't kill Ashvatthama.
That's correct. Anything else? Draupadi. Okay, now I'll ask you, this is for the kids again. Draupadi's father's name was?
King Draupada.
King Draupada. And therefore her name was Draupadi. Draupada, Draupadi. Here's a more difficult one. If you get this one, you get some extra points. King Draupada was the king of what province? This is for the kids, not for your father. If he tells you and then you give the answer, that's not good. Hint, it's one of Draupadi's names. Because she's, the province is the province of blank, and she's, her name is da-da-da-di. Starts with a P. Adults, who can say? Panchala. And her name is? Panchali. Okay. Here's another question. She was also known by another name. Chint, kids, anyone know that the other name that Draupadi was known by? Hint. It's one of the names in the Maha Mantra, almost. Krishna. Yes. And she was known as Krishna because she was female and she was very dark in complexion. So Krishna is Krishna and Draupadi is Krishna. Okay, that's a good, we got you fully attentive now. I'm going to ask a surprise quiz question at the end. So you got to pay attention. We'll see how many of you are paying attention at the end. Queen Kunti, or excuse me, Draupadi, one of the, a nice way to begin in describing Draupadi is Draupadi's birthday. Draupadi took her birth in a very unique way. And to understand how that happened, we're going to go back to the childhood of her father, Drupada, and his dear classmate. What was his classmate's name? Drupada's classmate? Drona. Here's the history of how there was a childhood friendship between Drona and Drupada. Sorry, this is the only picture I could get from a comic book, so. King Prishita was the father of Drupad. And Drupad had a friend whose name was Bharadwaj Muni. And King Prishita requested Bharadwaj to accept his son, Drupad, as a classmate, as a student, excuse me. So as a student, together, Drona and Drupada studied in the ashram of the sage Bharadwaj. That's where their friendship began. After some time, Bharadwaj decided that he wanted his son to study under the sage Agnivesh Rishi. So when the father, Bharadwaj, told Drona that he wanted him to go to Agnivesh's ashram and study under him, Drona begged his father, "I'll go, but I want my dear friend Drupad to also go." So, and with that arrangement, both boys went and they traveled together to Agnivesh Rishi's ashram. And they studied together, and they grew up their whole childhood as dear friends. Drupad promised to Drona, "When I grow up and I become the king, we're such best friends, I want you to have half of the kingdom, and I'll rule the other half." That was just his word. Later, when King Prishita passed on and Drupad became the king of Panchala, that happened in his adulthood. And as far as Drona, when Drona accepted as his wife Kripi, who was the sister of Kripacharya, they were twins, Kripa and Kripi. She was the daughter of the sage Sharadvan. They had a son, and their son's name was Ashvatthama. So, as Ashvatthama was growing up, there was this very special urge that Drona had. He heard that Lord Parashuram was in a nearby residence, and he had this unique urge on the part of a brahmana to receive from another brahmana. Lord Parashuram was born of a brahmana's family. Within a brahmana's family, he had developed military skills. He went to him and requested him to give him his divine weapons. And Lord Parashuram had this very special partiality towards other brahmanas, and so he readily agreed and gave him all of his weapons and taught him all of the military arts necessary to use the weapons with mantra. So Drona became very, very skilled because he had a very good teacher, Lord Parashuram. And as Ashvatthama was growing up, Dronacharya was very poor. So as the boys and the of his same age, also brahmanas, they were regularly drinking milk. But because Ashvatthama was very poor, his father was very poor, he was only able to feed him rice flour mixed with water. Drona felt very bad, both for his son and also for his own honor, that he was so poor he couldn't properly maintain his beloved son. So he decided he would go visit his dear friend. And his dear friend's name? Drupada. Because Drupada is now the king, and Drupada had promised when we were growing up and going to school together that he would give me half of his kingdom. He didn't go specifically to get half the kingdom, but just so he could be in a more comfortable situation for his family. When Drona came to the kingdom of Panchala, Drupada was very rude. Drupada refused to recognize him as a friend. He said, "Friends are of an equal level, and you are so poor. How is it possible that we can be friends?" And he just laughed at him right in front of the royal assembly and told him, basically, "Get out of my kingdom." Very harsh. When one is not pure, here's a math formula. Opulence plus an impure heart equals pride. You got it. Opulence plus an impure heart equals pride. Well, Drupada was consumed by pride. So his dear friend and a brahmana, one who he should just naturally respect, he was so engulfed in pride, he just insulted him and told him, "Get out." Drona was very hurt. And he decided, in that wasn't very brahminical of him, but he became angry and he decided to take revenge. So he's very intelligent. He very quickly had a plan how to take revenge. He went to the royal family where Kripi's brother was. Kripi's brother is Kripacharya. And Kripacharya was taken care of by the, or was in the service of, or in the, it's being respected by the royal family, the core of a family. So he went to Hastinapur, and there Kripa and Kripi were again united as brother and sister, and Drona was walking one day, and he saw the boys were playing ball. Even the royal family, they played ball, so you guys, you're okay when you play ball. You thought it was what?
I saw that movie.
You saw the movie? I didn't see any movie.
I know.
In your home you saw a movie. I didn't see your movie, sorry. So you already know the plot. I never saw a movie.
I did.
Okay. So what happened? They were playing a ball, game of ball, and the ball fell in a well. And they didn't know what to do. So Drona came along, and just using blades of grass and mantras, he retrieved the ball from the well. And the boys were very happy now they had their ball again. And not only that, he was told that there was a ring in the bottom of the well, and he also retrieved a ring from the bottom of the well, just with grass and mantras. And the Pandavas thought, wow, he's good. And so, especially amongst the Pandavas, or the Kauravas then, the Pandavas, Arjuna was very moved by the skill and the prowess of Drona. This helped Drona get a very good idea of what he could do to get back at Drupad. So he approached Grandfather Bhishma, and with the audience of Grandfather Bhishma, in all Brahminical honesty, he unfolded his plan. I have been given the skill of Lord Parashuram, and I'm volunteering to be the teacher of all the Kaurava family, 100 sons of Dhritarashtra and the 5 sons of Pandu, and I'll teach them. Put your hand down. And my plan is, I'll ask for Guru Dakshin. And when I ask for Guru Dakshin, I'll have them, as their Guru Dakshin, go and arrest Drupad. I'm a Brahmana. I have all this military skill. I could do it. But I'll have the Pandavas and the Kauravas do it, as my students. So Bhishma Dev, he knew explicitly what was Drona's plan. Knowingly, he agreed. Bhishma officially became the teacher of the Kuru princes, and all necessities of Drona's life was taken care of. So, one part down and one part to go. Ashvatthama now has everything that he needs as a son. He's being taken care of because his Brahminical prowess was being properly engaged. And in the course of the young boys now growing up, he informed them, at the end I'm going to ask for Guru Dakshin, and whatever they ask, whatever you ask, we'll do that. You'll be our teacher. And Arjuna became the very best of Drona's students. And after their long period of exam or study, they had a final exam. You going to have exams coming up very soon when your school year ends? Yes. After you do your studies, you have an exam. So, do you know what the exam was from your movie? Do you know what the exam was for the students of Drona? Can't remember? What was the exam?
You had to, Drona will ask, you put one bird on a tree.
Yeah.
And you'll ask, what do you see?
Yeah.
And then everyone will say, I see you, I see the bird, I see many things. And then Arjuna says, I see the bird. And then Drona says, do you see anything else? He says, no, I see only the bird. And then Drona says, shoot at the bird.
And then what happened?
He passed the exam.
Yeah, he passed the exam. He was the best student. There he is. As the other students look on, only Arjuna is able to pass the test of the teacher. So Arjuna was clearly the best of Dronacharya's students. Guess who didn't like that? Duryodhana. Didn't like that at all. Why not? Yeah, he was envious. I'm the best. How could somebody else be best if I'm the best? That's envy. In the life of a devotee, if somebody does something very well, we're very pleased to see they do something very well because they can use that in Krishna's service, and Krishna will be pleased. And if you're not a devotee, you want to be the best. And if somebody else is the best, then you want them to come down, and you want to step on their shoulders or step on their head or whatever you have to do so you can go up. That's envy. Devotees don't do that. But Duryodhana wasn't a devotee. He was very envious of the Pandavas. So, after the contest was completed, then graduation ceremony took place, then what happened? Drona asked for his dakshin. And his dakshin was, go and attack the royal palace of Drupad, and bring Drupad before me tied up like a criminal with rope. That's my dakshin. Yeah, uh-oh is right. So they had been trained by Drona. They knew all the skills that Drona had to offer. And the Pandavas decided, you're very expert, O sons of Dhritarashtra, so you go first. And when the sons of Dhritarashtra went to attack the palace of Drupad, here the Pandavas were just casually waiting. And Dhritarashtra's sons, this is their first formal encounter of using their skill. But Drupad led his army so intensely out to battle from the royal palace, sending so many arrows at the Kauravas that they fled out of fear, and went crying back to Drona, oh, we were defeated. So the Pandavas said, Arjuna said, we'll go forward now. And in fact, Yudhisthira, you just stay here with Drona and see that his safety is looked after. Just the four of us will go. So the four went, and they fighting was very, very intense. There was a whole array of elephants, for starters. So Bhima took his club and started smashing the elephants, the whole row of elephants, and they were strewn all over the battlefield. Drupada was amazed. He'd never seen anything like this before. And firing of arrows so intensely from Arjuna's quiver, and Nakula and Sahadeva also intensely fighting, the whole of the Kaurava, the whole of Drupada's army was defeated. And Arjuna focused in on King Drupada because it wasn't just kill him, it was capture him. So he managed to capture Drupada, tied him up in rope, And there he is, Drupad, being brought before Dronacharya as Guru Dakshin. Now, in Vedic culture, when the leading party is defeated, then his property becomes the property of the victorious party. So that meant that the kingdom of Drupad was now the kingdom of Drona. So Drona offered to Drupad, "Let us be friends. In childhood we were friends. We made this agreement that we would be friends. Now, the entire kingdom is mine, but it wouldn't work well if we were friends and you had nothing and I had everything. So let's be equal." He was being very brahminically fair. Basically, that's what their agreement was from childhood, and it's the same thing that he requested Drupad to do. But Drupad said, "No, we can't be friends if you're poor. I give you nothing, get out." He gave him some modest charity, but so modest it was insulting, purposely. Now, as the magnanimous Brahmana, but he has military skills, he's offering half of the kingdom back to Drupad. Drupad had nothing to say. He was shamed. He accepted half the kingdom, and externally he looked pleased. But in his mind, he was now in this get-back spirit. He wanted revenge. It's pretty mundane, right? Wanting revenge. He just got his half his kingdom back, and he wants revenge. Not good. And that problem caused Drupad a big problem later on. A bigger problem. So while the two were ruling one half of the kingdom and the other half of the kingdom, Drona continued as the teacher. I guess they were doing graduate studies of military skill. And Drupad was working on his plan for revenge. You know what that plan for revenge was? The plan for revenge was he requested two brahmanas, two brothers, Yaja and Upayaja, to perform a yajna so that Drupada could have a son that could defeat Dronacharya in battle. And the two brahmanas performed the yajna, and these were like really qualified brahmanas, not the other kind. And they were so qualified that from the midst of the sacrificial fire, it wasn't even like some payasam, was taken. But right from the fire, Drishtadyumna was born. And as he rose from the fire, the priest Yaja gave him a name, Drishtadyumna, signifying a bold, courageous person born from shining light. That's what the name of his, that's the meaning of his name, Drishtadyumna. But then there was a bonus. After Drishtadyumna appeared, Draupadi appeared from the same fire. And as she rose out of the fire, everyone was very surprised. And her, you see from the illustration here, her form was also darkish in color. And so it was prophesied that as Draupadi emerged from the sacrificial fire, a voice spoke and said, "She will bring about the destruction of the entire Kuru dynasty. Drishtadyumna would destroy Drupad. And Panchali, or Draupadi, or Krishna, would be the cause, or would bring about the destruction of the Kurus." Who was it that said that Draupadi was it you that said that Draupadi was dragged into the royal assembly by her hair? Who was it that said that? You said that? According to our acharyas, that very act, the harming of women, or the opposite, the failure to protect women, is the cause of the destruction of the whole Kuru dynasty, and can be the cause of the destruction of a whole society or human race. How important in Vedic culture is the protection of women. So she was given her names, Krishna, Draupadi, and Panchali. So she grew up in King Drupad's kingdom, and she was very beautiful and very qualified, and she was the cynosure, or was caught the eye of so many young princes in the whole of the land. And so arrangement was made by her father in such a way, although, very interestingly, although Arjuna was the one who defeated Drupad, Drupad wasn't angry at Arjuna. He didn't want to get back at Arjuna for defeating him. He wanted to get back at Drona. So he devised a Swayamvar ceremony for his daughter that only Arjuna could win. Well, almost only Arjuna could win. Karna was another qualified person who could win. There she is, Draupadi, princess, before her Swayamvar ceremony. He announced, King Drupad announced the plan for the Swayamvar ceremony. And Drishtadyumna, with Draupadi seated on a royal throne, announced that there was a bow, and there was a lake, a little pond of water, that was deliberately being moved. So if you see a surface of water, you can sometimes see a reflection on the surface of the water, but if the surface is moving, it's very difficult to see the reflection. And the reflection was of a revolving disc at the top. And the disc had a hole in it. And as the hole passed by a fish, they had to look at the rippling water, not up at the target, the backwards reflection of the target up at the ceiling. And as the disc was revolving, he had to shoot an arrow through the hole and shoot the object. Before it was a bird, now it's a fish. And here's the scene at Draupadi's Swayamvar ceremony. And look, who's at the Swayamvar ceremony? Who are these two? Krishna and Balaram. Question. How was it that Krishna and Balaram were at Draupadi's Swayamvar ceremony? Because by this time, Hastinapur is way over in Delhi, and Krishna was way over in Dwarka. How come Krishna came there? What was the circumstance? Does anybody know? It's a very complicated story. You got a simple answer? Go ahead. What is it? He can go wherever he wants. Okay. But there was a circumstance, a pretext on which Krishna was there. You know what that pretext was? The pretext was to attend the funeral of the Pandavas. But the Pandavas didn't die. So what was the pretext of the funeral? So now we'll go back step by step. Remember, the Pandavas were the sons of Pandu, and they were in a distant place growing up with their father because their father liked being in the secluded, didn't like the big palace scene. He liked the quiet forest scene. So they grew up in a distant territory, although he was the king. And when Pandu died, then they came back, and they were still boys. It was at that time that Drona became their teacher, and the enmity between the Kauravas and the Pandavas was growing and escalating, becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. It became so intolerable for Duryodhana that his most abominable, couldn't stand being around them, Pandavas. They were being honored by everybody. So he made a plan to kill them. We had a little assist also. The plan was, and he went to his father and asked for permission from his father to fulfill the plan. The plan was they would arrange for the Pandavas to go to a summer home and enjoy. It gets very hot in Delhi in the summer. Nice, quiet place in a forested area. Build a nice summer home. There's a big festival that comes once a year that the royal family would take part in. They could just live in a nice place for some part of the summer. And we'll build it so that if you just touch a match to it at once, it'll burst into flames. Or the house of lac. You familiar with that? The house of lac? Lac meaning like lacquer? Shellac? They built a house, summer home, with highly flammable materials and soaked the materials in shellac so that at the right time, when the Pandavas were asleep, they would set the house on fire, and at once it burned, and they'd all be dead. Did you know that happened? Well, they tried, but it didn't happen. What happened was, as the Pandavas knew, because prior to that, there was an attempt by Duryodhana to kill Bhima by poisoning him. You know about that story? Poisoning Bhima? You heard that one before? Yeah, no. Okay, I'll tell the story. Okay. This is before the House of Lac. The Duryodhana had a plan that he knew that another name for Bhima, besides Bhima, what's another name for Bhima? Vrikodar. Vrikodar means he had a voracious appetite. He could eat what 10 people couldn't eat, and that wasn't enough for him. He was a voracious eater. So they decided they would go to a place nearby, have sporting activities with the boys, and then in the afternoon after sporting activities, have a big feast. And the plan was, personally, Duryodhana put enough poison to kill 10 elephants in the big Bhima's portion of their lunch. And after Bhima ate everything, he wasn't fazed at all. He started to feel a little sleepy. So he told the brothers, you go back and I'll come and join you after I wake up. So he took rest by the side of the river. And Duryodhana came and tied him up fully with ropes, round and round and around, and tossed him into the river, thinking, now he's finished. Bhima's dead. But you know what happened? He went down and down and down and down and down and down into the deep into the land of the Nagas, at the lower regions of the universe. What are Nagas? snakes. And the snakes saw this human body coming and they started biting him and biting him and biting him. But by Krishna's arrangement, the venom of the serpents was the exact antidote for the poison that Duryodhana had given him. And so Bhima woke up. And when Bhima woke up, he saw that he was bound by ropes and he just went, boom! And all the ropes broke. And there's Bhima standing before the Nagas and they were... And they ran to their Naga king. Said, what are we going to do? There's this powerful person. And he knew who Bhima was, so he came and received him very nicely. And they gave him some very special Naga potion. Some nectar that one container alone was enough to make a person as strong as 10,000 elephants, and he drank 5 of them. They had never seen anything like that before, but he was Vrikodar. He could just... And then he fell asleep again. When you eat too much, you fall asleep. So, when they had a reception for him, they gave him the royal treatment, royal garments, and treated him very, very wonderfully. And the king of the Nagas told Bhima what happened, because they had this capacity of knowing beyond their own circumstances what others were doing. And he told them that Duryodhana had tried to kill you by poisoning you and tying you up in ropes and tossing you in the river. You better watch out. Duryodhana is very wicked. And by now, your mother is in great anxiety. And your brothers too. You should go back quickly and pacify them. So meanwhile, back in Hastinapur, Queen Kunti's waiting for her sons to come back. Because she knew there was some conspiracy. She's a mother. She knows. Mothers know these things. There was some animosity towards her sons. So she was concerned. And 4 of the sons came back, and Bhima didn't come back. And they said, don't worry. He just took a little snooze on the side of the river. He'll come. He knows his way back. But he didn't come. And he didn't come. And he didn't come. And Kunti was in big anxiety. So she went to Vidura. I really like this part. She went to Vidura and she went to Vidura and asked Vidura, what should I do? What should I think? I'm in great anxiety. It just took a few words from Vidura. Vidura said, don't be in anxiety. Remember that when your 5 sons were born, Vyasadeva said, they will live a long life and they will rule the kingdom. And Vyasadeva can't be wrong. So don't be in anxiety. He'll come back. Just hearing that. I mean, how many mothers, if their son is just like, not come home, and just hear something, okay. This is how much faith that Kunti had in hearing from a sadhu. Just hearing. Vidura was respected in that way, and so she was completely relieved of anxiety. And when Bhima came back, the Pandavas were very happy. Queen Kunti was very happy. Duryodhana was very unhappy. And when when Bhima informed his brothers of what had happened, they were ready to cut the Kauravas to pieces. Look what they did. They tried to kill our brother. Yudhisthira said, this is not a good time. Right time, this is good advice. Right time, right circumstance for all things. This isn't the right time. because we've just come back from the forest with our father. The Pandava, the Kauravas, have all the alliances with other kings. If some difficulty broke out, this isn't the right time to arrange something. We should do nothing now and just be very cautious. So when they were sent to go to a summer home and have a nice cool time in the forested area, what happened? As they were leaving, Uncle Vidura approached disguised and spoke in a language that nobody could understand. He spoke in riddles, but Yudhisthira could understand. And later on, Draupadi, or Kunti said, what did he say? I couldn't understand what he said. He was speaking something about fire and danger and death, and what was that all about? He said, there's going to be a plot to take our life by fire. So we should dig a tunnel, and at the right time, we can escape through that tunnel. That's what he said. So they made arrangements. There's details, but they made arrangement for a tunnel. And on the very night that they were to be killed, they went to this festival. There was some a woman and her five boys who were traveling, and they came to the door of the summer home, and they requested residence for the night. They were given residence for the night, just as guests. And that very night, the Pandavas and Kunti left via the tunnel. And when they got on the other side of the tunnel, there was a disguised boatman, it was Vidura, to carry them downstream and on the other side of the river. So in the morning, when the burned house showed the body of the bones of one woman and five sons, everyone took it that the Pandavas had been killed in the fire. So Krishna came all the way from Dwarka to attend the funeral of the Pandavas and Kunti, although he knew that they hadn't been killed, because he's the personality of Godhead, right? And he can do whatever he likes, and he knows what's going on anywhere and everywhere. So that's why Krishna and Balaram were there. And then the Pandavas, they were traveling around in disguise. So their disguise was, they were in the disguise of brahmanas. Here, these big-shouldered, big-armed kshatriyas looking in the robe of brahmanas. So one day they were walking along the road. They saw many people heading for a festival, and they asked, where are you going? We're going to the Swayamvar of Draupadi. Oh, the Swayamvar of Draupadi. Brahmanas and Kshatriyas only. You can come. Please come with us. So they were in the assembly too. And at Draupadi's Swayamvar, here she is with the garland of whoever would be successful in taking up the challenge of Drupad and announced by Drishtadumna, then they would have Draupadi as their wife or queen. Karna quickly strung the bow, held it up in the air, and was ready to take the challenge of the Swayamvar. But then what happened? Draupadi said, Kshatriyas and Brahmanas only. Because this is Vedic culture, a Kshatriya princess can marry a Brahmana or a Kshatriya, but not of a caste below herself. So Karna was understood to be a Shudra, that is, he was raised by a Shudra family. And so she said, no good. You can't take part in this challenge. And as we say in ISKCON, Karna was fried. He was very hurt by Draupadi. So he had I want to get back a Draupadi spirit. That came up later. All the kings tried and none of them were successful in the challenge that Drupada had set up. The Pandavas were present, looking upon the Swayambhar ceremony, and Arjuna came forward and saying, there's no one else that's been successful. Would a Brahmana candidate be able to perform this Swayambhar? And the king said, well, Kshatriyas are Brahmanas, and if you feel that you can do, you can try. That's Drupada giving him the okay. So there's Arjuna looking down at the trembling water, the pool of water, looking at the golden fish. It wasn't a real fish, it was a golden fish. That's another painting. There's Draupadi ready to... There's the reflection of the target. There's Arjuna's cheating. He's looking. The artist made a boo-boo. He's supposed to be looking down at the water. And as he fired through that circle, the little hole, there was a fish that's up in the ceiling, and the golden fish was pierced by the arrow of Arjuna. And everyone was amazed. Wow! What Brahmana is this? And immediately, Draupadi came and garlanded Arjuna, and their marriage was about to commence, except for the fact that there were a number of princes and kings who were very angered by a Brahmana achieving the hand of Draupadi, and so they grabbed their arms, their military weapons, and Bhima grabbed a tree trunk, and Arjuna with his bow and arrows started smashing and defeating all the other kings. Just the two of them defeated all the kings, including Karna, who was also defeated right here in the assembly of Dronacharya. Here's one king that got smashed in the head, it looks like. And others that got knocked to the ground. And there's Draupadi. And so the two brothers, they left the royal assembly with Draupadi. And when they came to the place where Queen Kunti was staying, they came to the outside and said, oh dear mother, we have some wonderful news for you. Arjuna has brought something back and wants to introduce. And Kunti from inside the house said, whatever it is, your five brothers, you should all share. And it was said in front of the deity. And so in front of the deity, the words of Queen Kunti, the mother, how could they go against what their mother said? But then how could they do what their mother said? They had a big problem. And Draupadi didn't know what to do either. So they went and consulted Vyasadeva what to do, because Vyasadeva is like the spiritual master of the Pandavas and looking after them, as he was the father of Pandu and Dhritarashtra and Vidura. And you know what Vyasadeva said? He said, before she was Draupadi and came out of the fire of Yaja and Upayaja, in her previous life, Princess Draupadi was a worshipper of Lord Shiva, and in her worship of Lord Shiva, she was so ardently worshipping Lord Shiva that Lord Shiva came in person. And when Draupadi saw Lord Shiva in person, she was startled. And five times in a row she said, I want a qualified husband, I want a qualified husband, five times. So Lord Shiva said, very well, you have five husbands. And Draupadi protested. He said, no, that's okay. In your next life, you'll have five husbands. So Vyasadeva said, because it was already ordained, pronounced by Lord Shiva, so be it. We can't have something happen against the word of Lord Shiva. Krishna upholds the words of his devotees. And so it was approved by Vyasadeva. And the plan was that then there would be a wedding where not just Arjuna would marry Draupadi, but all five of the Pandavas. Now, according to this illustration, this is a pushcart illustration. He was, when Ridhananda Maharaj was planning to translate the whole of Mahabharata, he requested pushcart to make illustrations for that publication. It never happened, but at least in the Back to Godhead magazine, some of the chapters were coming out. And this is Krishna, for the first time, directly interacting, because Krishna saw the Pandavas, and the Pandavas saw Krishna at the Swayamvar, but before that they had not seen each other. So Krishna came in a very humble way, touching the feet of Yudhisthira. During the wedding, he became the bearer of the white umbrella. And going before Yudhisthira and the Pandavas, offering the praises of the Pandavas for all the assembly. Krishna liked such services like that, honoring and praising his devotees. And so the wedding of Draupadi and the Pandavas took place. Everyone was very happy. Well, most of everyone was very happy, except Duryodhana. That the Pandavas didn't die in the house of Lak, that they were alive, and now they were going to become married to Draupadi, and there's more chapters to tell, but there isn't enough time. There's at least a whole other section of the same amount of, worth the same amount of time. So I think I'm going to stop there. And we'll do part two some other time. Is that all right? So, we lost some of our attendance here. And I forgot to think of a good question to ask you all. A quiz question at the end. What's a good quiz question to ask you? It's part of Vedic culture where kings who were, because they had royal treasury, they were capable of maintaining more than one wife, more than one queen. It was not uncommon that kings would have more than one queen. We very recently observed Ram Navami. And during Ram Navami, you probably heard, one of the features of Ramchandra's incarnation was he showed the example of an ideal king, right? Ram Raja, the rule of an ideal king. And as the ideal king, what was the principle that Ramachandra observed as far as having a queen is concerned? One queen, Ekapatni Vrata. So this is a very unique situation where one queen had five husbands. Most unique. Later on, much later on, when on the occasion of solar eclipse, when Krishna and the residents of Dwarka all went to Kurukshetra. This is in Mahabharata. They went to Kurukshetra, and also the Draupadi and the Pandavas went to Kurukshetra. And when the queens, Krishna had how many queens? 16,108 queens. And the queens and Draupadi met. And there's a section where Satyabhama is asking Draupadi, how do you do it? There's 16,108 of us to take care of Krishna's needs. You're one woman to take care of five men's needs. How do you do it? Do you have some special potion that you put in their food? Like, keep them satisfied and pacified? Maybe you know some sacred mantras, and you say some sacred mantras, and how do you serve five husbands in such a way that they're perfectly happy? Five of them, perfectly happy. Any of you that are married, have one husband that's perfectly happy. How do you do it? Five! And very powerful Kshatriya kings, perfectly happy. She said, Satyabhama, don't speak like this. If anyone did such a thing, put in potions and put things in the food, horrible. If a husband ever came to know that, everything would be finished, spoiled. Don't even think like that. And then she described, it's very nice for those of you that are married women or someday will become married wife, to read that section of what Draupadi says that she did, and basically to satisfy her five husbands, she just served them in a completely selfless manner. She said, in the morning I was the first one up, and in the evening I was the last one to take rest. And throughout the day, all of their needs were very nice, and she detailed how she would take care of the needs of her husbands. Draupadi was expert. Later on, when they were in the royal palace, Draupadi wasn't just like a wallflower, a little quiet lady off in a corner. She was in charge of so many things. And very powerful and very effective, but it was all done not in a mood of controlling, but it was a mood of serving her husbands. So many nice things to say about Draupadi. To be continued. So that was going to be the question. Ramachandra took the vow of one queen. The Pandavas, how many queens did Arjuna have? How many? No. What were some of the other queens or wives of Arjuna? Go ahead. What was her name?
Subhadra.
Yeah. Subhadra. Very good. Were there any other wives of Arjuna? Who was the son of Subhadra and Arjuna?
Abhimanyu.
Very good. There was another wife or queen of Arjuna. Anyone know her name? Ulupi. Ulupi. When once Arjuna was on tour, and he was taken into the lower regions by Ulupi, a fabulously gorgeous society girl. Arjuna would have nothing to do with her. But she gave all these good reasons why it was okay. So he accepted her arrangement as a wife. And a child was born that later fought on the side of the Pandavas. Very heroic fighter. forget his name. So Arjuna had more than one wife, but Draupadi was the singular wife of each of the Pandavas, or was the wife of each of the Pandavas. Very unique arrangement. Okay, any discussion on what we've heard or whatever it is that you'd like? I understand this is a place where you have a Bhakti Vriksha group and there's a number of families that are newly participating in your Bhakti Vriksha group. Any questions about Krishna consciousness? You guys can take off. You have a good time kicking a ball around upstairs somewhere. Yes.
Dronacharya was like a Brahmana, right?
Drona was a Brahmana, right.
He was engaged in all the
He wasn't engaging in times of combat, he did, but he was a teacher. A Brahmana, their profession or their duty is to teach the Vedas, and he became qualified in teaching that portion of the Vedas that is to do with military combat. And he learned that from another Brahmana. Parashuram is another Brahmana. So one Brahmana taught a Brahmana who taught others. So a Brahmana must teach something that comes from the Vedas.
Was he also teaching spiritual things to the Pandavas, or just military?
Well, it's to be understood that with anything that's Vedic, including Dhanurved, there's a spiritual dimension to it. So there's an art, or a skill, or a science, but there's a spiritual dimension behind it. And there must be some qualification. Otherwise, it wouldn't be effective. Yes?
Maharaj, I read a story about Draupadi's past life. I'm not sure how bona fide is it, because I heard that she was a very chaste wife of a very invalid old person, and because she served him very nicely, had some material enjoyment, and then he renounced her, and then so she was praying to Lord Shiva, but I'm not sure if it's bona fide.
I'm not sure either. You got to be very careful about these things.
Yeah.
The only reason I presented this little section is because it's right in Mahabharata, where Vyasadeva says, and if it doesn't come from an authorized source, it's very good to not read and to not repeat those things that don't come from sources you're not sure of, because then you could start getting bewildered. Yes?
Maharaj, did she ask for an engine drop to ask for power quality in her husband? That's why she was fine, but she should be beautiful, all powerful, and Dharam Raj.
I didn't hear that version. Maybe that's a valid. There are a number of Mahabharats in addition to Vyasadeva's Mahabharata, but the version that I read says this. It's like, have you read Brihat Bhagavatamrita?
No.
No? You've heard the title?
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's by Sanatan Goswami, and our Sanskrit students under Gopi Pranadana have translated it, and BBT has published it. In the beginning of that Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it mentions that Maharaj Janamejaya was hearing a version of Mahabharata that was previously taught by Jaimini Rishi, or was taught by Jaimini Rishi. And it was so nice. Different than the version of Vyasadeva, he asked, is there a sequel to it or an explanation of that Mahabharata? Meaning there's more than one Mahabharata. Similarly, right in our Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, there's a description where Maitreya is explaining to Vidura what he heard, the Srimad Bhagavatam that he heard from Parashara Muni, who had heard it from Sankhyayana Muni, who heard it from the four Kumaras, who heard it from Lord Sankarshan himself. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, what Vyasadeva wrote in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam wasn't a new creation. There were other versions of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are other versions that like this description that you just provided, that may very well be valid. And I'm not such a scholar that I can say whether it is or not. And it sounds very plausible that one version said she wanted a husband that had these five qualities, and Lord Shiva said, you have five husbands that have those five qualities.
Because it's not possible to have the same five qualities in one husband, that's why she got five husbands.
I won't comment. Maybe it was a version that was written by a woman. You can't find five qualities in one husband, forget it. Just be happy you have a husband that has one quality. Just kidding. Go ahead.
Maharaj, you said that Krishna and Balaram were present at Swayamvara of Draupadi.
Yeah.
So were they related to Draupadi in a way? I mean, and what was that relation if they were?
No, it was there is part of the royal entourage when there's a, you know, when the prince, whatever his name was, got married to that girl, whatever her name is. There's so many royal people from all over the place in the UK that went.
It's just stupid.
Yeah. It's, you know, festival, royal festival.
Did King Drupada really not recognize Dronacharya, or was he just pretending not to recognize?
No, he was proud. When somebody becomes proud, they don't know what they're doing. It was mean-spirited, prideful. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, in the olden times, I understood that the caste system was not based on the birth, but it was based on the qualities.
No.
And then
often on birth. Because in previous ages, people were they would follow the sankskaras, and therefore, not in all circumstances. Like, let's look at the sons of Rishabdeva. Some of them were kshatriyas, and some of them were brahmanas, and some of them were mahabhagavatas. So it wasn't always done like that. But commonly, like, you know, the son of a king would be a kshatriya by his qualification of being the son of the king. He would be trained that way and qualified in that way. Commonly that was the case. There are some exceptions. King Vaina was an exception. He was very bad. Not qualified as a kshatriya. But commonly, because of the qualifications of the king and the following of proper sankskaras, they were likewise qualified. Commonly, that was the practice.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, I have two-part question. One is about the section you were mentioning about Draupadi and Satyabhama. Where to read more about that?
It's in Mahabharata. And if I do a little research, I can find it and send it to you, and then you can make it available to whoever you want to make it available to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's in Mahabharata. It's a very famous section. Mm-hmm. You just don't let your husband read it. Why aren't you more like Draupadi? Go ahead. Next one.
Yeah, and the other question is related to the cultivating the quality of being a chaste wife. One of the instructions that we hear from Srila Prabhupada is like how the girl should be trained is like one of the essential qualities is to train them to become a chaste wife. So
yeah.
Then how do one cultivate that? And also like in terms of I'm asking for myself and also like as a mother, how do I do it for my daughter? Or how do I assist in that?
Well, best is by example. Mm-hmm. Now, how she sees her mother conduct herself in the presence of other men, and how she sees her mother serving her husband faithfully. That's the best teacher is by example. And then explaining, as a mother would explain to a daughter, this is how other men are to be regarded. And similarly, basically it means seeing other than one's husband as son, and the sons, the others, the other than one's wife as mother. So how do you treat your sons? It's not like, just the shyness and covering face and head and all that. It's treating like your son. And, genuinely, when a mother is dealing with her son, she's very generous. Just observe Krishna Leela and you'll understand how to treat other people as your son. And it's not just a matter of age, it's a matter of demeanor. And that's how you learn. And that's how you can teach. Sorry to embarrass you, but you can just pretend you didn't hear that. Okay, go ahead.
Just like as we hear that the Lord pastimes take place in different universes, do the pastime with the devotees, like the Mahabharata, also occurs in different universes?
Well, I probably. What Prabhupada says is, as you said, and wherever Krishna appears in his pastimes in the created realm, his Bhoma Leela, Arjuna is there, the Pandavas are there, and some pastimes are there. The variegatedness is going to be there, for sure. It's not like a rerun of the same movie. But the theme of conflicts and resolutions of those conflicts by showing by example how to act in a Krishna-conscious way given varieties of conflicts of life. Some variegatedness on the theme of, but the theme would be similar. I've not heard Prabhupada say that there's Mahabharats in different parts of the universe, but it would make sense. There, wherever Krishna is, and Krishna has, the Pandavas are interacting with him, and those histories are available, if not recorded.
Perhaps the other question I have is, on one side we see Draupadi, when her honor was, when the Kauravas were trying to disrobe her, she takes a vow that she wanted the Kaurava, like Dushasana, to be killed. On the other side, we see the compassionate part of her, even when her own sons were killed, she forgave Ashwatthama. It's hard for me to reconcile when I see both qualities, one the compassion side and the other side. Even though Ashwatthama, I don't remember if he was very apologetic for his behavior.
No. The reason, it's stated in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Draupadi's reason was that who is going to be adversely affected if Ashwatthama is killed? The person that will be adversely affected is the mother, because the father, or Kripachari, he had been killed in the battle. So all she had was Ashwatthama. And if Ashwatthama was also killed, she would be the one most adversely affected. So her compassion went to Kripi, thinking, why should Kripi suffer like I've had to suffer? At least I have my husband's. She has nothing. Now that's right in the purports of in the first canto, chapter 7. What her thought process was in relation to the Dushasana and Duryodhana. They were vicious. And by Kshatriya code, they should be punished. The act that they performed was an act punishable by death. So in one sense, it's not just revenge, but to administer proper justice, they should be given death punishment. So it's not surprising that a Kshatriya-spirited person, in this case a lady, but Kshatriya-spirited person, can have Kshatriya spirit at the same time soft-heartedness, as is appropriate when thinking of the welfare of Kripi.
Maharaj, it seems between Drupad and Dronacharya, Dronacharya seems morally more right and Drupad on the wrong side.
Yeah.
But later on, Drupad got a daughter like Draupadi and he fought in the side of Pandavas, and so he was on the right side, and Dronacharya, even though being so morally correct, he took the wrong side.
Yeah. Yes, Mahabharata is filled with that. It's very complex. And so, how to understand right and wrong when there's complexity? According to Yudhishthir, to the Yaksha, it's very difficult. So, how to is on the basis of following the path of the Mahajans, because otherwise it's too complex. There's some virtue and some fault on both sides. The higher platform for Drona would have been to forgive Drupad. He didn't. He sought revenge. It was magnanimous. Here's the revenge. Here's your kingdom back. If his motivation had been, I want to protect the religious principles of my friend, and I have a plan how I can protect the religious, because he's a king and he gave his word. And a king that gives his word and breaks his word, it's very, very serious offense. So I want to protect his religious principles, but that wasn't his motivation. It's where it ended up, but that wasn't his motivation. That's not a motivation of a brahmana. Fault. And consequently, although he was a brahmana, because he was being maintained by them and he had military skill, then he had to be engaged in the fight. Compromised again. One fault leads to another. One complication leads to another. So sticking by principle is best. In the back?
Maharaj, when Drupad performed this sacrifice, his intention was to get back to Drupad and Dronacharya.
Yes.
To get a son to who can kill Dronacharya. Yes. But then this Draupadi was also born, and it was pronounced that she will be
the destruction of the Kaurava dynasty.
Of so that was not the intention.
No,
of
it was not the intention.
So is it because just because he had this bad intention, so although he didn't want it that, but it's like sometimes we hear that we want to do something bad, and I'm thinking of one example when Srila Prabhupada says that you want to do something to someone and then it can harm you also in some other way. So he was not malicious towards Kauravas, but that happened.
I like sticking by what our acharyas say, and I didn't hear that one, so I'll just pass on commenting. Perhaps, maybe. Who can say? I never heard anything from our acharyas on that, so I wish to refrain.
Yes, Maharaj.
Could be. Sounds interesting. Maybe. I don't mean to embarrass you, I just don't want to go down the path of not being representative of our disciplic succession, clearly. Go ahead.
Maharaj, also like you mentioned that this talk between Draupadi and Satyabhama, that's where there are some instructions from scriptures, particularly about wives.
Yeah.
Is there something about husbands also?
Ah. There's another section in the ninth canto where Sukanya is serving Ashtavakra. So that's another section where women serving their husbands, but I don't know the other way around. I can't think of a section where it says the duties of the husband to the wife. There must be. There must be. I just can't think right now. Up here? We can turn the power off on this.
Maharaj, Dronacharya is a Brahmana.
Dronacharya is a Brahmana, right.
Yeah, Brahmana's quality is forgiveness.
Yes.
But Dronacharya have this revenge of in his heart. Maybe he did not take the revenge directly, but as the Guru Dakshina, he took his revenge.
Yeah.
But how to understand that...
It was a fault, an impurity. It was just, this was discussed just before. You're right.
Yeah.
And how to understand it? It was a fault. It's not a brahminical quality. He was qualified in many ways, but this was a disqualification. And as stated, it led to another... By that fault, it led to another implication. He took the position of that required him to be involved in the battle, fighting on the side of those who were maintaining him, or those who he had been the instructor of, and not good. And it also led to Ashvatthama being corrupted by the bad association, his son being corrupted by the bad association of Duryodhana. That fault led to great misfortune. Yes.
I was wondering, when we hear these stories of these great personalities, for myself, when I'm chanting, sometimes I find it easier to think about the qualities of an Arjuna versus Krishna, who seems very abstract and far away. Is it incorrect to think about Arjuna versus thinking?
Well, when you're chanting, you should just hear the sound of the holy name. That's one thing. But if in the course of hearing the sound of the holy name, some inspiration about a great devotee of the Lord, it's also Krishna conscious. Just make sure you're paying attention to the sound of the holy name while you're thinking about Arjuna's qualities when you're chanting. Whatever you do, to say to be accepted or to be rejected, to be accepted or it's okay, provided it's enhancing your absorption in the holy name. And if it's just like getting you fired up but your attention is going away from the holy name, then it's not good. You think of Arjuna's good qualities another time. But not when you're chanting and your attention is going away from the holy name.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, how do you maintain on a daily basis enthusiasm for the holy name?
A very honest and practical answer is by chanting, by consistently chanting attentively. When you sometimes chant attentively and sometimes chant inattentively, the answer or the result is you don't have consistent anything. You have consistent inconsistency, but not so. To have consistent enthusiasm is the result, is the fruit of very attentively applying yourself to chanting over a period of time, and then you have a quality experience, and that's creates enthusiasm, generates natural enthusiasm. So. It's quite different for a person like myself. I mean, I'm constantly traveling. Something that happens regularly is when I wake up, I have to figure out where I am. Let's see. Okay. Then from there, it's like everything else is also a little not fixed. But as grihasthas, your lifestyle is more fixed, and so you can have a regulation, and with that regulation some strength just built into your lifestyle, where you set things in place that are purposeful for quality. Chanting of the holy name, and that will result in consistent enthusiasm. Quality chanting will lead to enthusiasm. And there's many things to say about what are those things, what are the elements that make up quality chanting so that you have consistent enthusiasm, but that's a japa retreat. It's not a question at the end of class.
Was Queen Draupadi always a devotee of Krishna? Because you mentioned in the previous birth she was praying Lord Shiva. Or did she meet Krishna first time after her wedding?
It doesn't say specifically why she was praying to Lord Shiva to have a quality husband. And by her doing so, does that mean that she was a devotee or devoted to Lord Shiva and not to Krishna in her previous life? It doesn't necessarily mean that. Like, for example, contemporary was the young gopis were worshipping goddess Katyayani, as part of the Vedic culture, because goddess Katyayani awards one a quality husband. So they're worshipping Katyayani to have Krishna as their husband. They're Krishna devotees, but worshipping Katyayani. So similarly, it doesn't mean necessarily that Draupadi in her previous life was not a Krishna bhakta. I don't know more about her previous life than what I narrated, so I can't comment. And we hear there's even another version that says it was five qualities in her husband. I'm trying to recall, in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a two verses in a row, I think third chapter, that describe if one wants this, one worships this deva, if one wants that, one worships that deva, if one wants something else, this devi. So, in Vedic times, there were worshippers of different personalities for different purposes. We, as followers in ISKCON, we have a very clear, very singular path. Just worship Krishna. It's, you know, one-stop shopping. Just go to Krishna, and Krishna takes care of everything. But it's also Vaishnava that other forms of expression of worship may be there. Even, have you been to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Right behind the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a little Shiva temple that was installed by Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktisiddhanta wasn't like a demigod worshipper, but it's the worship of Kshetrapal Shiva to gain entrance, to get permission and the blessings of Lord Shiva to enter into the holy dham. So in Radhakund, there's a temple of Lord Shiva for the same purpose. It's not because there's demigod worship going on at Radhakund, it's for entrance into the holy dham. So prayers are offered at the place of Krishna's rasa dance, Gopeshwara Shiva, entrance into the place of Krishna's pastimes. So the purpose for which Draupadi was worshipping may have been something along that line, as opposed to that she was a devotee of Lord Shiva, not of Krishna. Okay. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.